don't have a hammer.
I will say we have to establish a quorum. There you go. And I advise the board not take any formal actions on matters discussed while executive session. So that being said, that brings us up on our new business item B, which is G20-03, authorizing the sale of conduit revenue bonds for the Interior Gas Utility bond sale supporting documents. Tom?
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of G20-03. Brenda Applegate could describe the financing more thoroughly than has been described earlier today. And we certainly have people here to answer any question anybody might have about this conduit bond. So it's whatever you'd like to do, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I think, Brenda, do you have anything to say? I mean, just for the record, please.
Briefly, there is a presentation.
And if you can't get it up here, if it is in your board packet, just briefly to kind of go over the high points of the financing.
I read the book.
Yeah, it's in the book. It's under 7B.
There we go.
Ah, good. Thank you.
No, that's how to you.
Yeah, so this is
how
okay.
Yep, yep. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so let's see. So you have before you resolution number G. This is Brenda Applegate for the record. G20-03 in regards to approving the sale of ADA's Conduit Revenue Bond Series 2020A for the Interior Alaska Natural Gas Utility IGU in a principal amount not to exceed $78 million. The resolution also authorizes execution of an indenture between the authority and U.S. Bank National Association as trustee to secure the conduit revenue bonds, an execution of a loan agreement securing payment of the conduit revenue bonds between ADA and IGU, execution of a bond purchase agreement, and delegates authority to staff to complete the necessary documents and to issue the bonds for the financing of the project, as long as the documents remain in substantially the form presented to the board today at this meeting. There's a, just to kind of give you a reminder of what we've talked about, I have a short PowerPoint. Oh, sorry. So who is the borrower? IGU. They've given you a detailed description of who they are, public corporation of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and we've already discussed their mission. The financing is a conduit issue, so as we've discussed previously, this is not an obligation of ADA or the state. The bonds are payable solely from payments made by the borrower under the bond documents. We're not requiring any private activity bond allocation from the state of Alaska. The bond proceeds will be loaned to IGU, the borrower, in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $78 million, and these are fixed-rate bonds. The project is, we will be paying or funding all or a portion of the cost of the acquisition, expansion, renovation, furnishing, and equipping of natural gas liquefaction facilities located in the Matanuska system or borough, including without limitation constructing a 100,000-gallon per day modular feed and gas pretreatment and gas liquefaction plant, 275,000-gallon liquid natural gas storage tanks, liquefied natural gas loading rack with scales, and an integrated power generation plant that's known as Titan 2. Additionally, we will be paying... So the projects that we've discussed, capitalized interest, debt service reserves, as we've discussed, and the cost of the bond issuance. The key documents that we're approving is in form is the loan agreement, indenture, bond purchase agreement, form of the bond, and the form of the preliminary official statement as it relates to the authority. And with that,
thank you, Brenda.
I think we're done.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Maybe it's for IGU. The expansion of the local verification facility in Point McKenzie, is that a hard number? How much is that?
I'm going to look to...
How much of the $78 million or $60 million does that take?
Yeah, around $50 million, $50 to $55. We've got our preliminary estimates. Do you want me to come up?
Yes.
Thank you.
So, for the record, my name is Dan Britton, the general manager at Clear Gas Service. So, $55 million for the liquefaction project. We're at a 65% design level right now with estimates completed by our engineer. And we currently have a EPC contractor doing a budget and estimate review on that, and we'll have that done in a couple of weeks before the bonds are finalized.
Okay. Questions from the board for Brenda or Dan while he's here? No? All right, so any more? Tom, Brenda? Yeah. All right, Sherry, I'll let you pull the board.
Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Kendrick?
Yes.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Cruz?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Congratulations, IGU. That brings us up to item number C, resolution G20-04, authorizing executive director to sign subordination agreement for the IG loan and approving subordination agreement.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of this. The subordination agreement is a credit feature of the bonds and made necessary by the loan. And we talked about it earlier today. I don't know if it has to be described more thoroughly. We have bond counsel here who drafted it. We certainly could answer any questions about it, and the necessity to have it. We could address that too if you'd like.
Let's see if there's any questions from the board on.
Anna McKinnon, necessity to have it on the record would be appropriate.
Okay. Brenda, you worked it over a lot more than I did. Why don't you
describe it?
Give the high points, please.
And actually, that might be a better thing for counsel. I don't know if Jerry or Cindy would be. I think tell me if this is correct. This is Brenda Applegate for the record. The intent of the subordination agreement is to really put into a formalized document what's already in the financing agreement, which is Ada's SETS loan will be subordinate to these conduit revenue bonds as they relate to IGU. And as we've discussed before, that subordination, the bonds will be secured by the revenues of IGU. Ada's SETS loan is secured by the assets of IGU, so they're two different pieces of collateral. But the subordination agreement really is a credit feature to make sure that everyone understands that Ada is subordinating its debt. And it will require us to stand still. It's a way for the bondholders to feel comfortable that Ada is not going to take the assets out from underneath IGU that produces the revenues that are securing the bond. I'm looking to counsel to make sure I got that right.
All right. Thank you, Brenda. Further questions from the board? Someone want to make a motion?
I move resolution G20-04.
Second.
Sherry, would you pull the board?
Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion carries.
I'd like to go back to resolution G20-03. Point of order, I don't think we put it on the table. So
you
don't
make a motion.
We didn't.
You didn't make a motion to put it on the table. So I'd like to do a recount, if that works.
Okay.
So
I move resolution G20-03.
Second.
Ms.
McKinnon? Yes.
Mr.
Kendrick? Yes.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Carl Jackson? Mr.
Bruce? Yes. Thank you. Brings us to resolution number G19-15A, amending resolution related to Alaska Ship Home Porting for Improvements Programs, AKA Ship to Finance Commercial Ship Repair. Tom?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This resolution, 19-15A, builds upon 19-15, which you passed last June, and it just allows, you might even say clarifies, that we can apply the Alaska Ship Program to shipyards throughout Alaska in addition to Ketchikan Shipyard. The financings will continue to come to the board, each financing as we have one today. The only, in the interest of time, I'll just say on page 2 of this memo, gives the scope of the terms, the range of the terms, that table, that you can expect to see with each Alaska Ship loan financing we bring to you. They'll vary in every respect, maturity, interest rate, et cetera, but you can see in this table the range of what you can expect to see, and you will see more and more Alaska Ship programs as this becomes more widely known, and of course, you know, when we're done with this resolution, then the one following is in fact a new Alaska Ship shipyard and a vessel based in an entirely different part of the state than southeast. So I recommend approval of this, and we sure can answer any questions about it.
Let's put it on the table for discussion.
I move resolution 219-59.
Okay. Who is seconded?
Julie.
Thank you.
Discussion?
Oh.
Easy now, Sherry. So do we have discussion?
No.
Well, for the record, I think it's appropriate that we allow, you know, all the ship repair places in Alaska to be able to compete straight up. Fairly, and I think this resolution does that. So that's for the record, and I will ask now for the question.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes.
Mr. Kendrick?
Yes.
Ms. McKinnon? Oh, the first time I said Ms. Anderson. So
oh, yes.
Ms. Anderson. Okay.
Ms.
Anderson.
Yes.
Mr. Carl's absent. Mr. Dory.
Thank you.
I don't think I voted on it.
Hmm?
Maybe you should just void the roll and start it over.
Yeah. Okay. We'll start at the top. Ms. McKinnon.
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Ms. Sandy.
Yes.
Mr. Carl.
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson.
Yes.
Mr. Carl's absent. Mr. Bruce.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. So that brings us to resolution G20-05, authorizing Alaska Home 440 AK Ship program to Drake Investments LLC. Tom?
Yep, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this authorizes the very first Alaska Ship financing to occur with the work to occur at the Seward Shipyard. And we do have Tim Jagelski here, Jagelski of JAG Alaska here, and it'd be a shame not to talk to him a little bit since he is here truly. And while would you come up, please, Tim? But while he's coming up there, I JAG Alaska has 115 employees in Seward, and put that into context. I looked around and Spring Creek Correctional Center has 140 guards, of which 79 of which live in Seward and Moose Pass, and the rest of them commute mostly from Anchorage. So Seward Shipyard, JAG, is a big deal in Seward, to put it in context. Really a bigger deal than the Spring Creek, and I'd certainly rather have a shipyard than a prison in my community anyway, if I was going to choose a place to work. This project is a rebuilding of a 200-foot steel barge owned by Drake Investments and home-ported in Kotzebue. But and we do have Toby Drake here, too. But I'd like you to ask any questions, or maybe Tim could speak a little bit about JAG and the Seward Shipyard and their little bit about their successes.
All right. I'm Tim Jagelski, Executive Vice President of JAG Alaska. We operate Seward Shipyard. We've been operating the shipyard for about 18 months. We've gone from, like Tom said, 4 employees when we started. We're at about 115. And we're doing a pretty good job of keeping the shipyard full. We're pretty much full through well into the third quarter and have work penciled in into 2021 already. So the main reason I think we're successful is we do it on time. All of our jobs are competitively bid, so it's not like we're getting anything handed to us, even the small business set-aside work. You know, we're about 90 to 95% success rate with any Coast Guard cutters or buoy tenders or anything that will fit within 300 foot or less and under 3,500 tons. All that work was going down to the Puget Sound area prior to us starting operating up here and chasing that work. We do a lot of topside work as well. We go out to Dutch Harbor, Kodiak, Nome, Valdez, pretty much anywhere we can find topside work, we go out and assist on that and take care of that. This program is very important to us, and the few jobs that we have lost, even on the commercial side, that have gone to a Canadian shipyard, they're offering basically deferred payments for up to 2 years. They're trying to package certain commercial projects together, so they'll do 3 or 4 vessels at a time, offer them deferred payment, and that has pulled a little bit of work that we could have had in there, and some of them jobs we were actually a little bitter on. So we're really excited about utilizing this program. We've had some other work that's got awarded down the Pac Northwest, that they were offered similar deals where they can get deferred payment as well. So for some of our commercial customers, this is very important, and we can see a path to really utilize this program moving forward. So we appreciate your vote on that.
And we also have Toby Drake, and if Toby, if you could come up, and please, thanks, Jim. Yeah. And Alan, you're the guy that knows most about this program, but anyway. Drake Construction began in 1982, and I think you bought it, took it over in 2006. Mm-hmm. And you can see in the pictures, it's a barge that anybody in Southeastern would be awfully happy to own. And you've got a lot of work for it.
We do.
Yeah.
So, just out of curiosity, we're kind of used to seeing the information typically on the loans and the loan participation program, which is more detailed information from the borrower, which we don't seem to have here.
We have the financial statements if you bond
have. Well, typically we get that in a confidential deal. Kind of tells us the cash, the liquid asset of the borrower, whatnot, and so I note that. I'm not going to hold you to it this time, but I would think that in the future you might want to, that we have an opportunity to see, the personal financial statements and their cash flows and whatnot for this type of loan. It's typical. It's not out of the ordinary. Financial institutions require that all the time. So I would ask that. And in addition, have you gone down and looked at the barge?
No.
We have not looked at the barge. This is Alan Weissman.
Up front.
We had scheduled a time period to go visit the barge to see that, and we were not able to do that because of weather. But we know that that's one of the conditions that have been on the other facilities, and we'll look to complete that before we put the loan in place.
Okay. And will you have a third-party verification of the value of the
that
the barge
as
for funding?
That is represented in the board memo that you have, the evaluation that's put in place.
It's for the record. Anna?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Anna McKinnon. One of the questions I had was, in looking at the entire vessel to make sure it's seaworthy, so that this one particular facet of whatever is being done for repairing it actually keeps the vessel going further. Mm-hmm. For the length of time that is being stated on some of the terms. How have you verified that?
That's verified through the evaluation that the chair was just describing. So we have evaluation of the work that's being done at the Alaska shipyard based upon its continued life after that point. So prior to the work being done, it had a
lower valuation following the work being done. It has a $2.2 million valuation, which is the basis that we're making this loan on, and just is certifying the future life, ultimately, of the vessel, the value of the work.
So there'll be a survey done at the end by a marine surveyor of the competency of the work that the shipyard does?
Yeah, this is totally
dry. I mean, you're spending good money.
Once the work's complete by JAG Alaska, both the Coast Guard and ABS will certify the vessel.
And if I could just add, that's the basis. That's why I'm referring to the valuation. That's the basis of the current valuation that we're making the loan against.
The reason I asked the question, and I'll try to be as tactful as possible, Southeast is experiencing a loss of ferry service, and they had a major repair job done on engines and other actions that the ferry is back dry docked or back heading for the engine repair or something.
Warranty work.
Warranty work, thank you. And so given that an individual needs to be able to count on repairs being done so that they can function as a business, I just am asking a question based on real life experience for the state of Alaska in the last, you know, three to four months. And some of it has to do with the quality of work that is done or something happening with the parts that they're bringing in. That's why I asked the question. And then my follow-up question is, Toby, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last name.
Drake.
Will any of your business be affected by any supply disruptions that might be affected by things that are happening internationally and nationally?
I don't believe so. We could verify with Tim, but I believe all the steel and the components required to do the repair are already in Seward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
What when is completion date?
It will be probably the first or second week in April.
So, Mr. Drake, why don't you repeat that?
Oh, yeah. This is Toby Drake. We're looking at April 15th as the completion date.
Okay. Out of curiosity, your operations, do you have your own tug?
We do.
So you'll tow it around to Kotzebue?
This particular barge here, we're actually going to charter a tug to bring it back to Kotzebue, but we have tugboats in Kotzebue.
Okay.
Based in Kotzebue.
I imagine it won't be empty.
No. It better not be.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that in the future stuff we get, you know, some more financial stuff so we can do a little better evaluation.
We will definitely be providing that, Mr. Chair, and we will also want to highlight that in the write-up we've gone through 3 years' worth of financial statements. The investment committees, the staff has reviewed those and we're recommending approval based upon our review of that. We've also verifying the financial covenants that are set up for the program are applicable. Nothing to take away from the highlight that we need to provide that.
Perfect. Further questions from the board? Did we put it on the table?
No. Yep. I move resolution number G20-05.
Second. Julie.
Julie S. And we got Julie A.
Sorry.
Okay. Any further discussion? Sure.
Mr. Drake, I am familiar with you, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but your construction company in Kotzebue does work with Red Dog Mine, correct?
We've done a little bit. We're hoping to do more now that we have the mobility.
Yeah, and Red Dog is you know, Ada's baby. We helped put that together and still part of the financing arm of that as well. So I just wanted to put that on the record.
So are you going to use this barge to move materials or equipment? Sand and gravel?
Yeah, both. So we operate two separate aggregate sources outside of Kotzebue, both about 20 miles outside of Kotzebue. So this
Kobuk or?
One is up back around the corner in Kobuk Lake, and then one is up the Noatak River.
Okay.
And so this barge will be used to barge aggregates around the region further now. And then, of course, also barge equipment to and from job sites.
All right, no further questions. Sherry, would you pull the board, please?
Mr. Kinnon.
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Ms. Dandy.
Yes.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson.
Yes.
Paul Gaffney.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Look for some pictures of it, Alan, when it's done.
I'm looking forward to traveling down the sewer to see.
Yeah, that's right. So with the board's indulgence, I'd like to make a addition to new business, and it would be a new resolution. Be resolution number G20-07, and the title is a resolution of ADA approving a development project financing loan under AS44-88-172 to HEX LLC. And we should have it in a packet there. We need a motion, a second approval to put it on the agenda.
I move we approve putting G20-07 on the agenda.
Second.
Julie, yes. She was first. Okay, any objection? Seeing no objection, G20-07 is now before us on the agenda. Tom?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I do recommend approval of this. It's exactly in alignment with ADA's mission for employment and economic development. You have the term sheet, which I believe adequately protects ADA under any of the circumstances we can foresee.
I'm going to put on the record what it's for. So it's to finance the acquisition of the entities holding the natural gas leases, natural gas production infrastructure of the kitchen lights unit, and finance additional development of those assets.
Yeah.
So that's on the record for the.
Thanks. For this is reserve-based lending, and it isn't something that ADA has frequently done. And to be frank about it, I'm not sure it's something that ADA has always known exactly how to do. This does conform very well with reserve-based lending, as I've come to understand it, and as some of the people that work at ADA have done successfully in the lower 48 and around the world. We certainly have the people here that can answer questions, but you also, you know, had an opportunity to talk with HEX and ask questions. If anything has occurred to you since talking to HEX, though, we sure have the people here who can address any concerns or questions you have.
Well, I'd like to build a record a little bit, so I want to encourage the board to ask questions and ask, well, I'll call him Mr. Hex for short, to come up to us and answer some questions. Anna?
Mr. Chairman, first I have a procedural one. This was my first board meeting, and so I was wondering if staff could tell me if we're working within ADA's laws and statutes or only a resolution on the table that someone else in the general public may be interested in. Is this within our legal boundaries to put on the table and then we build that? So how does that work?
Jerry Judea, Assistant Attorney General.
Jerry Judea, Department of Law. The ADA bylaws require that the topic be in the public notice of amount. This topic has is in the agenda that went out to the public, albeit in the terms of the executive session discussion. So I believe there is a technical compliance with the bylaws since the subject matter is disclosed. The exact content of the resolution was not previously put out there, but there is no requirement that the exact content be disclosed. It's a good practice, and I recommend it to the board that be followed, but legally, I don't think it's
required. Mr. Chairman, if I might follow up.
Go ahead.
Mr. Kendrick, could you tell the general public and for the record why it is a critical action today
to act on this particular resolution?
Yes. There's only two people that are bidding on this right now. I'm the only oil and gas affiliate that's bidding on this asset. Sorry, can I read that? Oh, sorry, John L. Hendricks with Hex. And we have until tomorrow. We were given by Judge Silverstein 2 weeks from February 20th to make a final bid and offer to win this. And so we would like to basically have the funding to legitimately put an offer in that could be accepted by the creditors and the debtors.
Follow up, Anna?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hendricks, is it fair to say that this particular asset is located in Alaska in the Salina region and is in bankruptcy court somewhere in the United States?
It's in Delaware bankruptcy court, and it went bankruptcy about August of last year.
And did you bid on that asset?
I bid on that asset and won the asset in an open bid on December 5th of 2019. We've been...
And Mr. Hendricks, is the terms of why you are before the award today to take over those assets so that there can be economic growth in the state of Alaska and additional employment? What is the purpose of your action in trying to go after this particular asset?
I think it's really good for Alaska to have an Alaskan based oil and gas company that can see the needs of Alaskans in different ways, to build synergies, to work with IGU, Fairbanks, and others that are deprived of natural gas, and to move a raw resource of natural gas to maybe a product and a byproduct. And we can also be a responsible operator where it wasn't responsible operator before. We're very, very much pro-Alaskan. I'm the president of the trustees of Boys and Girls Club. I'm very much into the youth of Alaska and making sure that kids and young adults get good technical training. Only having no Alaska employee in the Kenai work in these fields, we think we could change that, and we will.
Mr. Hendricks, could you speak to the benefits of the state as far as number of employees, taxes for both the state, royalty, taxes in the Kenai Peninsula borough?
Yeah, currently there are about 19 employees at HEX. 19 employees at Fury. We will basically keep that same number, but we will convert them to as many of them as possible to employees, not contractors. And we will encourage everybody to be Alaskan and not coming from the lower 48 as much as possible.
And what about royalties and taxes? And
About $9 million a year is being spent by Fury to pay property taxes and gas taxes to the state of Alaska. And so every 2 years is $18 million comes to the state.
What does the borough get?
Borough gets about 3.2 currently.
Okay.
Question.
Julie?
This is Julie Anderson. Can you explain a little bit about your background and what makes you qualified to be able to take over an asset like this?
Sure. This mission. I've been involved with oil and gas since I was an intern at Alyeska Pipeline in 1979. Okay, I got my engineering degree from the University of Tennessee in 1980. Working for Schlumberger, I was Schlumberger's first engineer to break out. That they come out of college and go through the rigorous 6 months of training, get your own crew in 1981. And basically from there, I worked for Sohio, which became BP. I did tours in Russia, tours in the North Sea, and with Apache. I picked up by Apache in Gulf of Mexico and in Egypt. I was privileged enough to be through two revolutions, the revolution in Russia and the revolution in Egypt. So we have a little tenacity, and we also have flexibility and a broad... I also started a process called base management, which is trademarked inside BP and production technical limits, which looks at base production, and they have base management team leaders in every operation in the world today. And that's basically bringing cross-discipline teams together to look at how to maximize the asset's value and work with them to basically maximize production.
Thank you.
And I was general manager, managing director of a few assets in my life.
Further questions from Ms. Hendricks?
Mr. Chairman, Anna McKinnon, just again, the urgency of the situation. How long have you known that you needed ADA support? Did you have? Is there a reason why this is coming from a business perspective to us?
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I want to applaud everybody in this room that's been assisting us, because I think backing up a little bit, when I purchased this or put my bid in, I never thought there'd be difficulty buying an asset that does $36 million a year gross and has an $18 million free cash flow that has almost $400 million worth of assets would be difficult to finance. I never did. There's been a momentum in the United States, NGOs against and banks against Alaska investing, and we just hit that slot the wrong time. We've talked to major lenders. We've talked to some very important people trying to bring this thing together and get financing. We thought the ADA way was going to take too long. We'd written one private firm to try to do this for 30 days, and we gave them probably 5 or 6 weeks, and it didn't work out. So we went to ADA, and ADA in the last 30 days has really stepped it up and brought this forward. But we've tried every imaginable way to move this thing forward and get financing. It's been very difficult. And like I said earlier, you know, Alaska needs to improve the capability, because if we can't finance stuff like this inside our state, we're going to have problems. And if we can't encourage others to put their money into our state, which is a major economic mover. But thank you again for your time.
Okay. There's no further questions? You guys ready for the question? Sherry?
Should we?
Oh, I thought we put it on already.
No,
we put it on the agenda. I guess we're going to move it.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, did we want to hear anything else from Tom to lay anything on the record as to why this is moving fast and it's a good investment for ADA? I know that you started the conversation,
yeah,
but you can just
on. Well, I did, but if you want on the record, we could you know, go through the term sheet a little bit, but and hit the high points. You know, what the actual loan amount will be used for and the interest rate, etc. But I do think we talked about that earlier. At the same time, maybe not calling it a term sheet, but we talked about the aspects of the loan, and I know everybody looked through the term sheet, so it's up to you how much more record we want to have.
Okay, so it's a 7.5. When we talk with the generalities, it's a $7.5 million loan, correct?
Yep. And part of the loan is funding a reserve fund.
Yeah.
And there are specific covenants about replenishing that reserve fund. And interest rate fixed 10% a year. Coverage ratio covenants that will be monitored and maintained. Equity contribution is defined and required. Collateral and ADA's position, security position is defined and required. Provisions upon default of any covenant and conditions precedent that are pretty standard in a term sheet. Performance criteria defined, monthly reporting, pretty thoroughly defined and specified, quarterly reporting with financial statements, uh, That's really it. If you will, we've been putting in term sheets recently. A couple of unusual. We started with Mustang. We have sideboards on. We've gone far enough, I guess, for 8 minutes to six. I'd be glad to answer any other questions.
Thank you. All right, so.
I move resolution G20-07.
Second.
This is Al Bauer. Further discussion. I will ask the question. Sherry?
Mr. Finnis?
Yes.
Mr.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr.
Kennedy? Yes. Mr. Cole? Yes.
Commissioner Anderson? Yes. Mr. Carl Jackson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you, folks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, brings us under director's comments. Tom, we've got A through G. So first up is Ambler West Assistant Status Report.
Mr. Chairman, If we want an update, and if we do on these two, we could have Alan talk about West Susitna while I try to Mark Davis and Jeff San Juan and Chris Anderson all called in ill today, although Chris has been ill all week. But Mark was kind of peaking yesterday and coughing. Anyway, I've arranged we can call Mark Davis if you'd like while Alan is. I can ask Sherry to link him up here because he knows he might be called. So we could have an update, a pretty abbreviated update of Ambler anyway. But Alan, why don't you go ahead on West Susitna?
Alan Western related. With West Susitna Access Road, we finished phase one. We had initial budget of about $200,000 for the setup of engaging HDR and also working with DNR, DGGS to shoot LIDAR over specific routes. That was completed at the end of the year, last year. We're currently getting the full data from DNR, from LIDAR, and HDR has completed their field examination report. So we've expended, at this point in time, less than what was the true underlying budget of about $150,000. And we've kept the budget on that side. We're now talking and engaging with our participants and partners in that, Minnesota Borough, and some resource owners about phase two and how to go forward on that. Those discussions are incomplete at this point in time, but we do have a scope that's currently under discussion for phase two.
Okay. So, do we remember what West Susitna was all about? Any questions about it for Ellen on that topic? Ambler?
Well, we can dial up Mark. Sherry, if you would please, and in the meantime,
can you just say something?
Yeah, the EIS is expected and committed to and due this Friday, and then 30 days later we'll get both the record of decision and also the U.S. Corps of Army Engineers Clean Water Act permit concurrent there. We've set aside the memorandum of understanding negotiations that were going on with Trilogy. The big news, of course, Trilogy has evolved and now has a major investor in South 32 and a specified amount of capital that's been brought in. If you want more details than that, okay.
We'll get the details after we get the record of decision.
Okay. We have Lex Sargento, our chief of purchasing, with an division update right now.
Lex Sargento, ADA. Mr. Chairman, not sure if you guys have a chance to take a look at this. Just some of the highlights as it comes to the division upgrade. I just draw your attention to the milestone of the database returning 6 weeks ahead of time. So as we stand right now, the project is tracking 6 weeks ahead.
So you had a schedule under budget?
Yes, sir.
That's good.
That's nice. It's 6 o'clock at night. Why did he come on first, huh?
And then, of course, come April 15th board meeting, we'll have another update for you. And things are kind of projecting. We're looking at doing a little bit more time on that. Not much, but maybe okay. That's my estimation.
And the folks you bought the system from, are they on Johnny on the spot for you?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. We actually had an administrator on site last week, and they did push through a lot of problems and issues, and having direct access to them during that time period proved to be very productive.
Okay. Any questions?
Thank you.
Great.
What? Sorry, I'm just looking at this budget through the chair. This is Edward. I'm just looking at the tribal budget down there. You budgeted $22,000. The actual was zero, and the incumbents was 22.
Yes, through the chair, Mr. Fogel, what that is that the two budgeted trips that we've had for Serenic administrators to be on site. As of last week, we've had the first trip, so nothing necessary has been actually expensed out, but we've encumbered those two trips.
Okay. Budget. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mom needs to put that stuff first.
I apologize if I told you this before. I know I told you, Dana, but for Lex's kickoff in the building of Navision, he had a meeting of everybody who uses Navision and then Curtis and I, who technically don't use it, and we were surprised. I counted 32 people in this building are directly involved and use Navision. So it's a big part of what we do.
Okay.
Surprisingly so.
Anything on the finance dashboard report, Tom?
Well, I'd be glad to try to answer any questions. As I said, Chris has been ill this week. We have talked both from the standpoint of Alan's shop and also Chris's shop so far as this coronavirus. The conventional wisdom right now is that the Alaska cruise ship industry right now is expected to benefit. That is, other parts of the world will be shut down, and there'll be more passengers looking toward Alaska. So that's the conventional wisdom today. I don't have any update beyond that, but we certainly are watching it. Because particularly in the Southeast, our loan participation program is very heavy to the tourism industry. And then, of course, in Allen's shop, we have Icy Strait Point and Dock Point 2. And there we have terms that do offer special protections over and above what you'd see in the loan participation program.
So I will mention a couple of things. Bernie, he's not here. He said his U.S. reservations have been declining, people canceling. There is a article in Cruise Industry News that says Norwegian Cruise Line NCLH sees meaningful decrease in bookings. Hmm. And then, quite frankly, as a business person, if I was a cruise company, and if I saw declines in reservations or trends, if their stock was already taking a pretty good hit, 20-25%, I don't know if I'd be forthcoming right away to come out and say, "Oh, hey, by the way, public and shareholders and stockholders, that we're decreasing rapidly." So I would ask that you really keep your ear to the ground. I don't know if there's a contingency plan. Ask the people that have borrowed money from us that are in this business, hotels, docks, whatever, you know, what they're, if they have a plan. What I don't want to, actually, I don't think we want to see something, well, by the way, comes August 15th and the people didn't show up and there's no plan.
I would just advise that, and I would not rely on anything that other than hard data, and I would dig really deep to get it, knowing that, especially from the cruise ship industry, that if they made an announcement that, you know, Carnival, that our bookings are down 50%, their stock is going to follow accordingly.
So we'll certainly do that, Mr. Chairman. And the loan participation program, of course, we do have the advantage that every loan is brought to us by a commercial bank or credit union, and there aren't that many loan offices for us to survey and see what, you know, how they think things are going with their clients. And so we'll certainly do that as an initial step.
Yeah. But hotels, I mean, the industry-wide, I mean, the boats may increase, but the passengers may decrease, which really means tour operators or, like, Icy Strait Point revenues, people going across the dock pay a fee.
Mm-hmm.
The number of people may go down, even though the number of boats are there. So I would, you know, there's a difference to me between number of boats and number of people. And I just make that suggestion that I would really, it's got to have an effect. I mean, I've got, and I don't know about the rest of the board members, but I've got people that are, you know, that canceling trips just going to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, which is, it's crazy, it's a flu, but that's my opinion. If we have people sketchy about going to Seattle and Alaska, I guarantee there's people sketchy about getting on a cruise ship coming to Alaska.
Yeah, you're right, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, right, getting on a cruise ship, period. I mean, typically, even if it wasn't a coronavirus, I mean, whatever they get, they're going to run rapid through the ships, and I know everybody's doing their best. I just want to make sure Ada, you know, with the support of the board, we encourage, you know, management and your staff to be really diligent and talk to our partners. I your people that we do business with,
yeah,
and see what they're hearing and saying, and if there's a contingency plan in case, God forbid, you know, instead of 2.1 million people hitting Juneau, it's only 1.1.
Yeah.
If I can add to that. So with the Alaska Development Team within the Department of Commerce, we've been tracking this virus and its impact since February 1st on a global basis, and we've then started surveying the local businesses and industry, and we're going to start reporting on that so we can establish some type of a trend to keep our eye on it. In addition to that, the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, also working with them and the Homeland Security, they request that there's some business continuity operation plan, so our department's going to reach out to different various businesses to make sure that people are aware that they need to start thinking about what are they going to do for business continuity in a variety of situations, right? Not just the financial. So we'll be working closely on that. I'll be able to provide updates on that.
You know, Chris, this is directly Chris's portfolio.
Yes.
As Anderson. So when she gets back, or whoever's raising, you know, taking up her while she's gone, I think that's important.
And I would
encourage you to get a report at the next board meeting.
Okay, we'll sure do that. Every tourism port in the Southeast, we have substantial interest.
But, you know, we've loaned a lot of money in hotels in Alaska.
Yeah.
And we just did two new ones, one in Seward and one in Kodiak.
Yeah.
So I just want to be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is ominous. Certainly, you know, we're spending time in this building preparing from our own standpoint.
I don't know if it's appropriate to even talk about it, but, you know, you have to reserve something, or, I mean, again, I just think there's going to be some ramifications. I just can't see without, I just can't see not having something. Hopefully it's a little.
Hi, this is Brenda Applegate. Our policy is as we.
Could you get the microphone, please?
This is Brenda Applegate for the record. Our policy is we do an evaluation twice a year on our loan portfolio, and we focus on those loans that are delinquent more than 90 days, but we also identify loans where we might have a reason to believe that there could be an issue, and we look at those specifically, and we work with the bank on those. So we'll look at it at June 30 now, because we just did our 12/31 evaluation.
It'd be interesting, I know you in the pie chart there is a percentage of the portfolio that's tourism related. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the percentage is, I don't have in front of me, but it's probably in that state book.
It's in the dashboard.
And in that. In a general manner, we do take a general provision on our loan portfolio as well, and we have a percentage, and we usually reach out to our participating banks to make sure the percentage we're using is in alignment with what they think is happening. So that might be another place that we would see this. If in general, folks are seeing a general decline, we might need to evaluate that percentage.
Okay. Right, thank you. So my recommendation to the board is that you guys have it in your packets, the infrastructure development, the org chart, and the continuing education calendar. Is there anything on those three that's important that you want to call to our attention?
Not really, but we do have Lex here for a building.
Well, that's the last one.
If you'd like.
I didn't talk. That was the last one. I'm talking about D, E, and F.
We can sure go through. There's nothing that is a standout.
All right. So that brings us to G, the building expenses capital AR report. You can bring us some more good news there.
Well, I don't know.
Yes. It depends on the questions you have.
Lex Sorrento, Ada. So, Mr. Chair, the report that you have in front of you is a summary of three resolutions that are currently building-related, highlighting work that needs to be done or that was approved for work to be done in reference to maintenance, repair work, replacement of roof, chillers, HVACs, things of that nature. We've completed work on much of these. And I'm referring to, Resolution G-1514 and G-1514A and Resolution G-1522, both adopted in 2015. Those are specifically were put together to handle window replacement, roof replacement, chiller, HVAC, and boilers, specifically. The G-1715 resolution, you might recall, is our annual for maintenance repairs and capital improvements of $250,000.
Yeah, I specifically remember that, and for the board, people that weren't here, folks that weren't here, basically, you know, we have an aged building, and rather than come to the board every nickel and dime, the board elected to authorize staff to spend up to $250,000 and then after giving us an update on what they're spending the money on, so we'd have to have resolution after resolution, whatever it took. I still believe in that. Whether you need to spend it or not is a different story, but you know, this is the aged building. It's really, in my opinion, substandard. I see a floor above here that needs some work. And I think we need to get after that. I just want to give the board, what for those that weren't here, what the rationale behind the $250,000 a year.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And so the summary of this just basically kind of let you know what we currently have remaining on those resolutions. As far as upcoming building projects, you mentioned the floor above us, that I will be heading that project as well. The parking lot that needs to be run down during the spring and summer. There's also painting and signage that we also need to consider. And currently battling or investigating leaks to the basement that occurred a couple weeks ago that I've attempted several times to resolve. So now we're kind of in that trial and error where we're thinking it could be related to some window leaks, replacements might be necessary.
Okay.
So those are time of the year.
I'll notice Curtis Stayers here, and he's kind of, with Tom's blessing, kind of taking the lead on the building issues with X. Is that correct, Curtis?
We work on them together.
Well, yeah, but which I appreciate. The goal is that we get it done, and what's needed. So I will ask, is there any new bullet holes in the building?
No.
Not that I've noticed, but, Mr. Chair, but I hear my office has been, had history of those. So I was not aware of that when I took office.
Well, that's the rest of the story, The Northern Light side is a little higher pay risk. In review, I'd ask for that.
Yeah. So, the, Mr. Chair, the remaining balance on those three as of to date is approximately $533,000.
So when we see a list of improvements that you're proposing with the budget at some point. I guess go against that 533?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I can have a more formal list put together for you and send me some estimated cost of that, if that's what you're...
I don't want to get to too much detail, but at some point, twice a year, maybe status of the building, what you've had to spend money on, what it cost, if you got a major one, kind of give us a head to head. The next 6 months we're going to be doing this, we think it's going to cost that.
Right.
But any building restoration issues, it's I call it Christmas, because you never know what you've got until you dig into it, and so we're not going to hold you too close to it, but you've got a pretty good track record, so we're we'll move you closer to the Northern Lights.
Just for the record, one thing is, since there's a surplus there, that is a combination of resolutions where there's defined scope, and so most likely what you'll see is a resolution coming before the board to allow that $533,000 to be used for other projects, the completion of the second floor, parking lot and such, because the scope is defined. But if I don't say it's, but $500,000 is good, we're not asking for it, we're just asking it to be redirected.
But Curtis, you already have authorization for $250,000 a year.
Right.
So is this an addition to that?
We will complete a list and have that, because it's possible future authorization depending on what the cost scope is with the work that we have to do. But I'm saying we have a pot of $533,000 of previous board resolutions for the building that we've already spent the usage for. So it's sitting there and can't be used until we have an authorization for the board to redirect it for something else.
So it would be more than $250 on an annual basis?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to have it back, actually. Julie
Sandy. In December, we asked for the list that would, at some point, for deferred and capital, so we had some way from year to year to take a look at larger expenses and potentials. But, if there was preventative maintenance, then we wanted to know that, too. So hopefully at some point, then, if you guys can provide that list, just we'll have a good place to start.
Yeah. To the chair, Ms. Sandy, we can provide that.
I'm going to put my private hat on here. Typically, I have no clue what this building's worth, right? Maybe I don't want to know, but at the end of the day, we're spending good money. I want to make sure it's for a good building. What I would call an inexpensive brush of what this building's worth is called a broker's letter of record, where we don't do a full appraisal, but a broker kind of comes to us as well, based on the market. And when I see this asset is valued between A and B, they're typically pretty cheap, or we'll call it inexpensive. And I think that would be valuable for us as going forward.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I was going to ask the same thing. We really need to understand that we're throwing good money after bad. Been familiar with this building for many years, and it seems like we keep throwing money at it, and it just isn't improving, and it's really not fit for purpose. So at some point, we need to have the board working with the management come to a decision.
Yeah.
But we need the information to do that.
We still have that same next door.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you about that. What's the status of the Blues? Blues, what is it called? Blues what?
Blues Central.
Blues Central?
Yeah.
Are we getting rid of that thing? We don't, what's the story on that?
We have to figure out where the property line is to make sure we don't sell something that we're using every day and the new owner come and give us an invoice for using his or her property. Beyond that, it's not a very usable piece of property by itself, but and of course we don't pay property taxes,
But there's still maintenance and upkeep. You can't let it just go into a derelict, you know.
Yeah, we've been using it for storage.
Go ahead.
Tom, this is Albert. Tom, yep. can you get a survey completed in the next 2 months or so?
We don't really need a survey. A buyer might want to buy one. What we really just need...
Well, you want to find the property line.
No, we don't.
Confidential.
All we need is to identify a corner and take a plat, and have a decent plat, which I'm very surprised, but Anchorage doesn't seem to have very useful plats compared to any other place I've been, including Juneau, of all places. You can get a great...
We're going to need a survey, Tom, anyway.
Yeah.
So we might as well just get it done.
And the thing is, it takes the liability off of you and puts it on the survey engineer.
That's right. It can't be that expensive, $5,000. I haven't done it all the time.
Yeah.
I had one done for a much more involved property than this not very long ago in June for $800.
Well, so is it safe to say we can encourage you to go to whoever...
We can. It won't be $5,000. It might be like $1,000.
So you got 500 and some thousand there, so plus 250,000 a year. So
you know how small contracts, even though they're very small, can become very visible.
Question for Curtis. So along with that survey, you mentioned getting it, or you did. We need to get some kind of assessed value of this. All of our property, so we can make a decision as a board what's the best way forward. So I suggest that you guys work together and provide that, if possible, at the next board meeting.
Okay. Just for informational purposes, when we were looked to do a survey, we wanted to do it on all the properties. Right. So we have this building, we also have Blue Central, we have a parking lot in back, which is two sections. So even if you're talking I assume you're talking the whole.
Don't you have an engineer on call? Engineering company?
Yeah. We have a team on staff, but they're not scammed. They do surveys.
No, but I'm talking about a third party. AEA have an engineering company, HDL, HDR, CRW?
Dow.
Dow? I mean, are you using any of those?
Ada does.
Ada does. Well, they all have survey. They all have saver capability.
My neighbor on CRW, but he did surveys.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a contract in place. Yeah. But they all survey. A lot of them do it for me on projects. So they have that component in their engineering groups. So you have a contract to go ahead and use. Okay? All right. Anything else on the building? Thank you very much. Next up is board comments. Yay. This is like the longest meeting we've had, thanks to Anna. I had to get the dig in there. By the way, welcome aboard, Anna, again.
I'll make a comment.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard, and Julie and I are very glad to have you. I think you're a great addition to the team.
We're leaving, guys. Comments?
I have the echo. Welcome.
Welcome, Anna. And thank you to the staff.
Long day. Thank you, staff. Appreciate it. And with that, I'll take a motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Any objections?
What?
None? Wow.